Hello everyone, it is Tim Robinson here from the Video Game Fury Podcast. It is Tuesday, January 23rd, 2018. I am here as always to give you the latest in all the video game news, playthroughs, industry talk, and the continuing journey, me documenting all that's going on in the game dev craft. Let's start with some news to kick off the day here. A lot of interesting stuff going on for Square Enix. I think this is going to be one of their big years for them, especially if they get the Avengers game that they're working through with Crystal Dynamics off the ground. There's, of course, all the rumors about the next Tomb Raider coming out, being called Shadow of the Tomb Raider. So they're not short of major franchises making their way, or at least being talked about more this year in the press. They gained some more press yesterday with a big announcement. One of the acclaimed game designers out there in Yuji Naka announced on Twitter yesterday that he is now joining Square Enix. Now, if you don't know this name, Naka is best known as the former head of the Sonic team over at Sega. He had left the company back in 2006. He started his own little independent dev studio called Probe. They're really known for some smaller titles and some works in some Digimon games back on the PSP and PS3 days. He's also well known for creating Let's Tap back in 2008, back on the Wii, which is kind of a rhythm game here. You're tapping on it's kind of funny to talk about it now with the announcement of Nintendo Labo recently, but it was a game where you tapped a cardboard box to match the cues on screen. So that's the ironic thing about it. You know, 10 years later, with the Nintendo Labo being announced last week, so you know, who knows? Naka was ahead of its time there, and he's seen Nintendo doing the same thing. So it's very interesting here. He's back on the grid, and he's doing it with a major publisher in Square Enix. As I said, he already announced this on Twitter. Nothing other details than that. Just saying he joined, and he's looking to develop a very enjoyable game as a result. And the last game he did put out was Rodea the Sky Soldier for the Wii and Wii U in the Probe banner. So, no details on what's happening with Probe there. They didn't really get into that in the articles I've been reading, but that is the big deal here. Really, the details are scarce just other than that, so obviously we don't really know what kind of project he's going to be taking on for Square Enix. But it's a pretty high-profile name there. And really, just in your point of view there, I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, he's well-known for heading up Team Sonic. Sonic, of course, has not had, as much as he's a recognizable name, he has not had the most recognizable brand recognition from a game perspective, especially in the 3D realm. It's well-known for the last 10, 20 years that his 3D offerings have not been the best, and it's been very kind of hard to translate his kind of style, the Sonic style of gameplay, into 3D lately, unless you count the first Sonic Adventure back on Dreamcast. But beyond that, really hasn't translated well beyond it. So we'll have to see what Naka's got in store here, but it's pretty exciting for Square to have a talent like that at the helm. And like I said, just with everything Square's doing that's coming up between Avengers Project, Tomb Raider, amongst other things, it's a good time to be Square at this time, and definitely a good time to be Yuji Naka as he takes on this new venture for himself to kick off 2018. So we will see what he has in store, what Square has in store for him. It's a pretty good start to the year for the man. Time to do some stats talk here. As we all know, 2017 is in the books. It's been hailed as one of the best years in gaming in quite a while. Not that we haven't had good years in the past, but 2017 was such a banner year in terms of the quantity and quality of the content we're getting. I mean, we're still seeing spillover, at least for me, spillover of those games into 2018, because there's just so much to play. Well, the ESA finally has put together a full picture of revenue generated in 2017, and they were doing a year-to-year comparison of how things panned out this year or last year compared to the others. And it's a pretty good increase I've seen this year that the 2017's numbers between hardware, software, peripherals, in-game purchases like microtransactions and all that, and any subscription-based models, all came to an estimated total of $36 billion. That is crazy. At the ESA's count, they're saying that is an 18% increase as reported in 2016, which said had a reported number of $30.4 billion. And we got to keep in mind here, they wanted to put it out there that the NPD numbers that they're piling together are reporting on mostly just game and downloadable content sales, not exact measurement. It does not account for any digital sales on Switch or 3DS, and it is also not counting any PC digital sales through certain platforms like EA, Microsoft, Sony, Battle.net, Origin, or Uplay. It's very interesting to see how his has been hitting here. The hardware in particular is very interesting to look at. It jumped from 3.6 million in 2016 to 4.7 million in 2017. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the Switch and the Xbox One X being key hardware releases last year. That was an increase in 28% as far as the dollar sales go between 2016 and 2017. But interesting enough, they had said that they saw a 20% decrease in game sales between 2016 and 17 on all the major platforms. Probably because the it was just a lot going on out there. The hardware itself was pretty dominant, like I said, between Switch and Xbox One X. Particular in game wise is what games have been bringing in the most money. Call of Duty World War II, probably no surprise there. The behemoth of a franchise that it is, so I bring in the most money from both physical and digital sales in 2017. Interesting enough, NBA 2K18 was second place, with Destiny 2 coming in third overall. And December itself, Call of Duty also was showing as a high game of two. It was the Xbox exclusive PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds that saw the next most sales after that game, with the runner-up being the PlayStation 4 version of Star Wars Battlefront 2. Xbox had already boasted last month that they sold the most systems and copies last month because of PUBG, which I guess it proves the point that PUBG is that kind of, PUBG is one of those big stories last year, and it is also appears to be a system seller, despite all the bugs that supposedly had come out and framing issues for the Xbox One. It still was enough for the folks at Microsoft to say that this game drove a lot of sales for them. So the numbers don't lie there. Definitely, a big increase. It spoke a lot to the content that was coming out. We had obviously a big release in the Switch that was a massive success for Nintendo, between having both Mario and Zelda coming out the same year. Xbox One X, I said before, I feel like it didn't really have that killer app for them, but I guess maybe that was PUBG. Maybe that was the thing they had to bank on, even though they had to wait until the very end of the year for the game to come out to it to justify the sales. We'll see what happens this year, as it's still looking a little bleak as to, what is going to sell an Xbox One X, but, Microsoft can at least claim that for December that, they had a hit that drove a lot of their sales. So 2017, a banner year for these guys. Nothing really surprising in a lot of the stuff here. Call of Duty being a major hit. Battlefront 2, despite all the controversy about its loot boxes and microtransactions, still was up there in the sales-wise, even though it sold much less than the first one. We'll see how that affects EA's bottom dollar. But banner year for 2017. Lots to be appreciative there. We'll just have to see if 2018 can follow up on it. And then lastly, in the news front, we have seen one of the greats in video game past join Google for whatever new initiative that he's not ready to announce yet. This is, of course, we're talking about Phil Harrison, who used to be a former PlayStation and Xbox chief, that is joining the ranks of Google in a new business that's going to be at the firm's Mountain View headquarters in California. Harrison, if you don't know, For those who are just recent to the space, he's a very, very regarded video game executive. 16 years working at PlayStation. He was there at the very beginning when the PS1 was launched back in 1995. has had numerous roles with PlayStation, including the president of Sony's Worldwide Studios. He's definitely been involved much more before that. He had some roles at Mindscape being an example there. He had a brief stint at Atari after joining PlayStation, and did some work at Microsoft, being the corporate vice president of the Xbox business. Very involved in the investment scene, a special advisor to London Venture Partners. This is all information from GameIndustry.biz that we're looking at here. And while he said he can't share anything about his new Google role, he did state this is a pretty special opportunity for him, taking on this unique new business that Google is starting out for him. Now, we have heard rumors that Google is has some thoughts about possibly joining the video game space. Now, whether that is in the form of its own system, I mean, clearly they have, you know, the platform with the Android that's seen its share of stuff showing up in the App Store and Google Play that you can play, but it kind of makes you wonder if they are planning to do something more than that to compete with the likes of the Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo's of the world, becoming its own publisher or developer platform. We really don't have a lot more details than just that, but it's just speculation. But it wouldn't surprise me. They've definitely outsourced their software or their hardware for a variety of different operating system needs. The Ouya being one of those. I remember a couple of years back that didn't really get off the ground running, even if it wanted to try to pitch itself as the system to play a lot of indie games. I think I remember hearing that there was a lot of issues from like a UI and stability standpoint when it came to supporting that, the controller not being very feasible to use compared to what we play with today. So we'll see what happens here. I mean, having Harrison on your team is no joke there. And when you're going to have a guy with at least 2 decades of experience running both major businesses of Sony and Microsoft, or Xbox and PlayStation, I should say, there's got to be something that definitely is going to be brewing from a Google standpoint to have a very key executive like that. So another one of those things that we just have to wait and see, but it was an interesting announcement to see such a key veteran to be there at especially at the launch of one of the greatest systems to come out in the PlayStation. That's pretty big news there from my standpoint, and we're going to have to see what he and Google have up their sleeves as time goes by. On to some game playthroughs that I've been working on the last few days. Zelda, of course, continues to be my go-to on the go whenever I go to work and come back. You know, nothing really to update on that. I've just been, like, flying around, taking on different shrine quests, trying to up my game as far as health and stamina goes before I tackle on the third beast. Still, I got to figure out, I'm trying to get to Death Mountain, and I keep getting on fire, and I'm missing something here that I'll have to look out, because I keep taking the fire elixirs to think I can resist the heat, and I just keep burning. So either there's like a trick to getting up Death Mountain that will allow me to avoid fire and not burn to death, or there's an elixir I'm missing here. So yeah, I got colons on that. I'm welcome to it, but I got the good old internet that I can also look up as well on that, as much as I want to keep this spoiler-free as possible for me on my journey. But the real meat for me, I've gotten a lot of time to play Shadow of War, Middle-Earth Shadow of War, over the weekend. And it continues to be a treat. I'm slowly making my way through the story. I think I really got to tackle more story than side quests, because there's a lot of side quests in this game here. I feel like I'm missing out not doing these and building up my level first before diving into the story content. But I think at this point, I really need to push hard on the story. I'm really just kind of at the point where I've taken out my first war chief, I've consulted with Shelob on a traitor in the midst, and I just kind of went through this arena battle that I took out a bunch of leader and Captain Orcs, and that's kind of where I left it from there. So I mean the gameplay is still enjoyable. It's I'm a big fan of the Batman Arkham games in terms of the rhythmic fighting style, where you're chaining combos and counters and special moves, so that gameplay is never going to get old for me, and I appreciate it being in a game like Shadow of War as well. I will say this, though. I got my first lick of the loot box structure that exist in Shadow War by going into the marketplace. And really just, it's been highlighted in my menu for a while. I picked up a couple of war chests on my own. Really just wanted to see what it was offering me there. I got a couple of rare items, like a dagger and a cloak, to help me out, which is cool. But I didn't deep dive enough to go and look at the controversy of being able to buy XP and level up more quicker on your side as well. I think I've seen enough on the internet about that to know that it's just not fair to go down that route, especially when I start getting to the point that I can start raiding other people's castles online. But it's a disturbing. It's one thing to witness it through the internet and everyone's reactions in terms of the whole loopback controversy. It's quite a pound to the face, for lack of better words, to actually witness it yourself. You know, I'm obviously going to keep grinding on this myself. I enjoy the grind. I mean, as long as they keep the quest compelling, then I'm all for it. And so far, it's been that way for me so far with Shadow of War. But it is, it's a sign of what we've seen going into the end of last year between maybe not so much a game like this, but definitely Star Wars Battlefront 2, to kind of see these predatory practices being put into place. It's a little disturbing. And as much as these publishers want to, think of their bottom line and try to maximize the revenue as much as possible, given all the game development costs being high as it is, it's a little disturbing to see it come down. I've always preached on the show here that, you're getting your money now, but don't be surprised if that's going to cascade its way down going forward. So for now, for a game Shadow of War, it's not as intrusive to me. It's like, if you want to do it, go ahead and put the money down. But, I'm enjoying the grind too much on my own to really think about it any further. So at least Shadow of War gets a pass for not tying its progression system too much into the loot box nonsense. So they got that going for them at least. Still enjoying the game. I got to find more time to really deep dive into it. Probably this coming weekend, the work week, of course, is interfering with that, but we'll see how things go. But it's continuing to be a good game that I'll keep you guys posted on. Last thing for today, I just want to give out a quick plug for those that are curious about this or are also in the New York area and will be attending it this weekend. It is Global Game Jam 2018 coming up this Friday through Sunday, basically the entire weekend. Where everyone will be gathering in, and it's not just New York, it's a worldwide jam. Everyone will be gathering at different locations throughout the world, but all gathered together for basically a 48-hour spiel of creating a game based on a certain theme that everyone's going to be working on. It's a real exciting thing where everyone just comes up with their own ideas based on the theme in general. Some of it will be standard games that they'll make, some of it will be probably like VR, AR experiments that they're working on. I'm a complete noob to this stuff there, so hopefully people go easy on me this year. But fortunately for them, they say, it's open to all ages, open to all experience types, beginner, experts, whatever you want. Just really a time for everyone to get together, really appreciates the craft of game making and being able to do it within a very short time frame. It can be very stressful, but it also can be very rejuvenating. I tried to do an online jam not too long ago online called My First Winter Game Jam. Now, unfortunately, health issues got in the way. By the time I got better, I was only a couple days left, and I was like, there's just no point in me crunching this and, possibly making my health worse. So I decided to drop out of that, as disappointing as that was, to start off 2018. But, hopefully, as long as I continue to barricade myself, wear hazmat suits, and just dump medication all on me here, I should be able to make it this weekend to the Global Game Jam. And it'll be a cool opportunity. Hopefully some folks from my Unity class year I'll be able to meet up with again, maybe collaborate on the game as well. Pretty exciting here. It's a yearly thing they do. I'm going to be doing a play crafting the course, the school that I took the Unity class under. And it's just a great opportunity to really stretch those creative muscles and see what you can do within a 48-hour frame. It's one of those good things you like to have. Like, you know, like anything in life, the best things in order to get anything done is to have a deadline attached to it. And I think for me, just having a whole weekend to really work on that is exciting to me. And I'm really looking forward to the Global Game Jam this weekend because of that. So if you guys are listening to this, if you are aspiring game devs, and if you're in the New York area, I would definitely recommend going checking that out. It's on the globalgamejam.org, I believe it's called. You can just easily Google it, too, and join it from there. It's going to be at the Playgraphic Center, actually at the Microsoft Tech Center that's in Times Square. If you want to go check that out and see what it's all about and participate, it's free. So it's open to anybody there. Just, you know, make sure you bring the tools and software that you plan to use to make these games. And they have some workshops, too, that are going to be on that Saturday. I plan to check out a little stuff there about game design and how the Unreal Engine works. So I thought that would be pretty cool to see what's on the docket for those. I'm pretty excited for this weekend here. And it's an opportunity to hopefully make up for the fact that I couldn't do that first online jam. So just want to get that out there. I'll have more details, of course, and by next week, once it's over, I'll share some details about what the experience is like, but that is something I just wanted to plug out there. Thanks for your time, folks. Thanks for listening to the show. If you have any feedback or thoughts, you can go on the Anchor app, look for Video Game Fury, and leave a call in on the show. Any feedback, comments you want to share, I'm open to hearing it and possibly playing it on the show. So thank you again for the time. This has been Tim, and until next time, enjoy your games.